Shalom Aleichem. Mishnah Yomi continues. We are starting chapter 10 of Ketuvot. Mi shahaya nasui shtei nashim. A man was married to two wives, v'met, and he passed away. Perhaps the stress was too much for him. Our sages recommend actually not to marry two wives, even though technically it's when it's legal. We know that Yaakov Avinu had issues of jealousy between his wives, even though they were great, on a very high level of being tzadkaniot, of being very righteous women. But what do we do about the ketuvah? Anyway, harishona kodemet l'shnia. The first wife to marry takes precedence over the second wife. V'yorshi harishona kodmin l'yorshi shnia. And the heirs of the first wife take precedence in ksuva collection over the heirs of the second wife. So meaning if the husband passed away and then, maybe out of grief or something, both of these widows passed away and leaving heirs. Now the heirs to their ksuva can collect their ksuva, but again, the first one has precedence. Now the Mishnah brings a related case. Nosa et harishona. A man married his first wife, v'meta, and then she passed away. During the marriage, the husband's still alive. Nasa shnia, he marries his second wife, umet hu, and then the husband passes away. So here the din is, shnia, the second wife, viyorsheha, and her heirs and assigns, kodmin liyorshe harishona. They take precedence in ksuva collection order over the heirs of the first wife. Now recall, the first wife has already passed away, but if she had children, those are her heirs who could theoretically collect her ksuva. Now, these heirs of the first wife, they're coming to collect what's called ketuvat benin dichrin, the ketuvah for the heirs of the wife. We mentioned this back in chapter 4, I think Mishnah 10, that it was one of these tanai bitin, one of these assumed conditions, even if it wasn't explicitly written in the ketuvah at the time of marriage. It was a condition that the heirs of the wife would inherit her ketuvah property. And this was to encourage the parents, the family of the wife getting married, to add more dowry, knowing that their own grandchildren would collect that dowry. Let's go on to Mishnah Bet. Mi shahayu nasui shtei nashim v'metu. A man was married to two wives, and they passed away. V'ahar kach, and after both wives were out of the picture, met hu. Again, a lot of grief. So he passed away as well. V'yatomim mevakshim ketuvat iman. And the orphans are asking for, seeking in court from the assets of the deceased husband, the ketuvah of their own mothers. Ve'ein sham, but there is not assets in the estate, elashtei ketuvot. The only assets in the estate are to cover those two ketuvot for the two wives. There's nothing more that's going to be left over to be divided as the Yerusha, the inheritance, for the children. So in that event, holkin b'shaveh, they divide the estate equally. So they don't actually receive the estate through the ketuvah benin dichrin, through the ketuvah of their mother. They just divide it equally because there's no other assets to be divided. The Gemara explains what's going on here is if we rely on the rabbinic enactment of ketuvah benin dichrin, that the heirs to each woman get their respective share of the ketuvah, well, there's nothing left over to divide equally for the ketuvah deraisa. The biblical level ketuvah is all of the male children inherit an equal share, though, as we'll see tomorrow, the firstborn gets a double share. So if we only rely on the rabbinic enactment, there's no more biblical Yerusha, biblical inheritance, and that would be a problem. So in the situation where the assets would only cover the ketuvah, we default to the biblical situation, and they divide it equally. But the Mishnah adds, Hayasham motar dinar, if there be one dinar left over after they paid the ketuvah. So for example, the first wife had a ketuvah benin dichrin of 1,000, and the second wife had even more dowry. It was 2,000, and the estate contains 3,001 dinar. So after you've paid off the ketuvah benin dichrin, there's that one dinar left over to be divided amongst all of the heirs of the deceased father. So then we have a biblical Yerusha, a biblical division of inheritance. So we can also have the rabbinic ordination of the ketuvah benin dichrin as well. Now finally, the Mishnah notes an interesting case. So There's a vested interest in the heirs, the sons from the larger ketuvah, that 2,000 dinar ketuvah, to perhaps, forego some of what's owed to them, to leave over that dinar so they could actually get the larger share. So the Mishnah talks about such a case. Im amru yatomim, if the orphans of the 2,000 dinar ketuvah, they say, anachnu malin, all nichse avinu yater dinar. They say we're willing to consider it as if we've received all of the property because we're willing to like overestimate the value of what we get by one dinar. Kadesh yitlu ketuvat iman, so that once we take the ketuva of our mother, the ketuva that's written, ketuva bin dichrin, there will be this dinar left over. Ein shomin lahen. We don't listen to them to sort of let them overestimate how much property they received from the estate to satisfy their ketuva, so there'd be leftovers. Ele shomin etze nechosim beveitin. Rather, the court is the one who evaluates how much the assets of the deceased are worth, and they do this at the time that he's deceased. So it's really up to the court and their estimation and their knowledge of the market value of these assets to figure out how much the estate's really worth and if it can satisfy both the ketuvah b'nin dichrin, the rabbinical enactments to protect the heirs, the grandchildren, and also satisfy Yerusha Deraisa, the biblical division of inheritance. Yishar koach, zay gezunt.